Boom. Do you feel that? You feel that, right? Okay. That was me landing for a fresh episode of Chima Chat's Foot. Wow. Liverpool versus Oil. I mean, sorry. Liverpool versus Man City. They played to a 2-2 thrilling draw. And I mean, what can we say, right? What can we say about that besides what a game of football? Quickly before we dive into it, and there was so much to unpack here. Pep and James Milner had a nice kind of old pros conversation in the tunnel on full time, and that was great to see. You know, I think Pep kind of let James Milner know, hey man, you got away with one right there. And Milly, who, I mean, the guy's been pro since he was 16 years old. Go look at James Milner's age. Now say he's been in the Premier League since 16 and ask yourself what you were doing with your life. Anyways, what a game. What an incredible game. I don't necessarily, I'm a day late and I know I owe you pe I know I owe all of you good people. So we'll get into it. We will dispense with the facts here. What a game. Just what a contest. This was every bit the, Arsenal versus United, Arsenal under Arsene Wenger, Alex Ferguson's United, Clash of the Titans, whatever you want to call it. And the atmosphere is just crackling from the beginning. Here's the thing about City. City is what they are, right? I could very easily tell you that City is an artificial, created construct that's hollow, no history, and is literally as fake as a $3 bill. But the truth is, they have seven Premier League titles now. I mean, if you want to talk about how they get them, their ties to things that are less savory in UAE and Dubai and all that, you can, right? Their corruption probe with FIFA, all that good stuff, you can. But at the end of the day, City produces arguably some of the finest football on the European continent when they're up for it. City is an absolutely incredible outfit with absolutely incredible players. There's a shock, right? For the first about 20 minutes of this game, City had us penned in. They absolutely had us penned in. We couldn't get out. They were pressing us. Their midfield did a great job of penning ours in, kind of running circles around us. They had this kind of strange formation where Jesus and Phil Foden are on the, excuse me, yeah, Jesus and Phil Foden are on the wings. And Kevin De Bruyne is in the 10 supporting. So he's a midfielder, but he's kind of a second striker-ish in that 10 area. And then you had Jack Grealish in that free false nine role. Him and Foden, I believe, were interchanging positions. I mean, City looked great and they looked dangerous. Wow. They were absolutely what you would think they would be. I mean, at the end of the day, Chelsea is formidable, but they've slowed down in the past couple of games. I think with City coming and kind of spanking them on the ass a little bit, it really just let them know that, not so fast. Chelsea was getting a bit carried away with the premise that they're going to walk the league, and everybody is saying, hey, look, again, not so fast. I just felt like after we got to grips with the game a little bit and got a chance to breathe, we were okay. I love James Milner. I kind of eulogized him a little bit, but man, James Milner against Phil Foden, I never want to see that again. James Milner against Jack Grealish when he pulled wide, I never want to see that again. They absolutely had James Milner on. I'm not going to say they had him on strings, but I mean, Foden and Grealish being world-class players that they are. Phil Foden is one of the greatest young English players ever, as far as what I'm seeing. And I have a buddy who's a Man City fan, shout out to Kennedy. And he would always tell me about this kid, Foden, 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 Foden. He's good, man. And I'd be like, all right, man, this kid number 47 with the little buzz cut fade. Yeah, no, yeah, whatever. Until I see this guy, and I promise, I feel like it's the last three appearances he scores against Liverpool. He absolutely scores against us, and he was giving James Milner all he could handle. He was giving James Milner absolutely all he could handle, and I'm just like, Milly had to use all, damn near 20 years of experience playing in the Premier League to handle him, and I'm happy he was able to do that. He got booed a little bit by the Man City supporters, but then again, I mean, Man City gave David Silva a statue. You know what I mean? Somebody who was at their club, starting in like 03, 04, 05. So they don't understand what club legends are anyway. They don't have them over there. All their legends are from 1990 to the 2000s and up. That's when their club was started. So a little bit of dig at the City fans. But, man, we have to talk about our good friend Sadio Mane. I thought that Sadio Mane, I thought his skills were on the decline as they've been for the past year and some change. And, you know, I've eulogized him on this podcast before. I love Sadio Mane. I think he's an incredible player. I love what he represents. I love him more as a human being as well. Humble, hardworking, absolutely dedicated to the cause. And you just love that. But today, not today, excuse me, the past, let's say, I'll say 7-8 games, he has this propensity to run into a challenge and then fall to the ground and expect the referee to give him a foul every time. And one thing that Sadio Mane was always good at, an underrated skill of his game, is his ability to use his body. He'll get in there, he'll throw his body about, he'll shield the ball, but, you know, he hasn't been able to combine that with the finishing and the speed and the threat like he had normally done during almost all of his Liverpool career. So I'm asking questions about what he has left. So great to see him on a, you know, get a goal. And the beautiful part about the finish was instinctive. The finish was instinctive. The finish was natural. It's Sadio being Sadio. Amazing. Diogo Jota, kind of hit or miss again. I think that some games he either takes it over and scores early, and in other games he can be a little bit hit or miss. Still a great ratio for us, but we got to talk about the man of the hour, you know. I said I wasn't going to do the usual three, break around midfield, defense, and attack. I'm just going to spit from the top of the dome about this game because it was honestly the best game that I've seen in quite a while. And the truth is, Manchester City and Liverpool are the standard for quality football in Europe now. The Premier League, of course, and in Europe. So we got to get to Mo Salah. The assist was incredible for Sadio Mane's goal, but Mo Salah is arguably the best player in the world right now. Nobody wants to say it. Nobody wants to acknowledge the fact that, you know what, there might be some credence to that. Why do you say that? I'll tell you why I say that. Lionel Messi, and someone made a very interesting comp, right? They said that, you know, and it was a hot take, but it's not that hot. They said that Mo Salah is the closest thing to Lionel Messi in his prime over the past, let's say, 15 years or so that we've seen in the Premier League, and I'd have to agree. The similarities in their low center of gravity, their kind of frantic style of dribbling, but they keep that nice, calm upper body. Their legs can move in a variety of directions. I mean, you want to talk about that goal he scored. That was a world-class finish. That was shades of the Napoli goal that he cut in and bent. It was shades of the Tottenham goal where he puts all of the defenders on strings and he finishes it with his off foot. That goal deserved to win this game. But we have to flip it back to our defense. And I'll be honest, Virgil, Joel, I've never really seen them besides. And I don't want to say never, because the Brentford game, you know, all of a sudden we've conceded 5 in 2 games. And you have to say, well, what the heck's going on? You know what I mean? I don't like the fact that Joel and Virg are being dragged around. I don't like James Milner at right back anymore. I think that Klopp has played that card one too many times. Or I'll take that back, right? I don't think he's overplayed the card. I just think that it can be used against certain types of opposition. And certain types of oppositions, i.e. some of the world-class players that City have, that might not be the time to throw James Milner out there. Because we've seen him do a whole season at right back, Reds, if you remember. So he knows how to play that role. It's just the pace and the attack and the danger from Phil Foden and from Gabriel Jesus. I mean, they were just dangerous the entire game. You know, we ended up flipping it back to them, but our defense was under pressure for a lot of that game. Andy Robertson, I don't think he had his best game. I think he was decent. I don't know, man. I think that if it's rest that's required, I know Andy Robertson didn't have a rest for like a year and a half. I love Kostas Tsimikas. I think he's great. I think he defends well. I think he's tough. I think he's a bit of a bastard, which is what I like in my footballers too. And he has a better delivery on him than Andy Robertson does, which, you know, is saying something, because while Andy Robertson is nowhere near Trent's, it's still fairly good. For me, Andy gives it that little bit of his delivery is a little bit too flat sometimes, which is why when Andy Robertson takes corners, it doesn't beat the first man quite often. But Phil Foden, I thought he was electric this game. I mean, him and Jack Grealish are interchanging, and for that goal, it was just, you know, again, it starts from a break, and it's almost like throughout this game, we couldn't stem the bleeding from the midfield. City got the midfield, I'll say, 60% of the game to our 40%, maybe even 70-30. Their midfield was, you know, Rodri and all those gentlemen that kind of hung out with him there. They simply were a bit too much for us. I thought Fabinho was decent this game. I also thought that he had a couple of lapses, and leading to the first goal, it was kind of like, okay, we're attacking, get the ball nicked off of us, then it's in the midfield, then it's a pass, and then it's a pass leading to danger, and they score off of that. So, you know, the back line was not incredible today. Fabinho in that sixth role, I you know, I love Fabinho. I'm a Fabinho enthusiast, but I need more protection from him. I need more screening from him at times. And maybe Klopp's telling him to maybe get forward a little bit and support the attack, but I don't think that, while not a terrible game, I don't think it was his best. Henderson did what he could. I would have loved to see Naby Keita this game just to give us a foot on the ball, maybe a little aggression, just something. Something was needed. But then again, Naby Keita, they say he kicked a blade of grass 2 weeks ago, so that might have him out for a month. Hopefully not, right? Because I like him as a player, but man, he is not available nearly enough when he is needed, in my opinion. I am not a doctor, you know what I mean? But in my opinion, his health is the main thing that keeps him from being such a fantastic player that we all know he can be. They got to go back to the Mo Salah goal, man. Like, we need to appreciate how special this player is. And we also need to appreciate the fact that they're probably not going to see a player like this again for a really long time. They were calling Mo Salah a one-season wonder. You know? They were calling him, oh, he won't do it again. I mean, 100 Premier League goals. He's in Liverpool's greatest ever 11 players. We're not City. We're not Chelsea, right? We're a club with real history that goes back a long, long time. And here Mo Salah is writing his name into our history books. So the second goal with De Bruyne, I really felt like that was, it was, it just even, it evened it up a little bit. City had played well. They deserved a point from the game. We simply couldn't set up shop, you know, and that's looking at our whole defense, you know, that's looking at everybody to figure out why that keeps happening, why we can't close the door, and quite frankly, what we're going to do about that. But De Bruyne comes in, he gets a little bit of luck, deflection off of Joel Matip, and, you know, nobody closed him down. Kevin De Bruyne is absolutely the person who can shoot from there and will shoot from there. And when I say there, it means anywhere on the football pitch, right? Kevin De Bruyne can shoot from any angle. Somebody said he looks like Kevin from Home Alone. If you've seen that, you'll understand the reference, but Kevin McAllister. But he was amazing. So it turns out that James Milner on a yellow, doing what he could the whole game. I had my heart in my mouth like everybody did. I thought he was going to get sent off, but apparently, this is the explanation, that foul was for the Jordan Henderson foul as opposed to the James Milner foul. Hey, I don't exactly understand it because it looked like a bang-bang play, and I think that maybe Paul Tierney is saving himself a little bit there. But either way, happy James Milner didn't go off. But City gave us everything we could handle. I thought that the crowd was good. I thought that the atmosphere was what we needed. We just have to figure out, and that's the thing. I don't know whether it's our defense needing to step up, which I believe is a part of the case, or it's the simple fact that Man City are just really good. You know, Man City are really good. They literally can spend $150 million on one player and just drop him into the team. You know what I mean? So it's difficult to say, hey, were we really good, or was City just a bit, were we really bad, or was City just awesome? And I felt we played well in spurts. I just felt like over the course of the game, had we been able to nick that 2-1, it would have been such a shot in the arm for us. It would have been awesome to say, you know what? City came and we beat them, right? As United continue to drop points, how about that situation? We'll talk about that another time. But all in all, I'm not too upset about it. 1 point off the top of the table. It would have been nice. You hear me, people? It would have been nice to go into the international break top of the league. But again, I like Liverpool as the second or third favorite, the underdog. Don't put all that necessary pressure on us. Let us get it together. Curtis Jones is slowly growing into a great player. He's provided, what, two or three assists in his last couple of games now. He's getting confident. And I think that that might have been a big part of the strategy. While myself and many other of you all fellow Reds have been complaining about the lack of transfer activity, I mean, you have Harvey Elliott and you have Curtis Jones in the midfield, and they're starting big Premier League games. You know, they're playing in the Champions League. You know, Harvey, hopefully he can come back. So I'd love for us to get a player in January, but I've been very, very impressed with his development. You know, where we go from here, go to the international break, get rest, get it together, you know, but 2-2, a point apiece for the two most exciting Premier League teams. And I thought that was about fair. I thought that Pep Guardiola had his fair serving of French cries and wham burgers on the sideline like he always does, complaining. Nah, who am I kidding? Jurgen Klopp complains too. But at the end of the game, they embraced, they hugged. You know, it's a healthy rivalry, you know. And at the end of the day, he might say a couple things that tick me off about Liverpool, but you got to respect what Guardiola has done, you know. Even though it took him £1 billion, you know what I mean, to not win the Champions League, he's still a great manager. And, you know, that right there is what, you know, as we just flip it to Man United, that's the problem that they're going to have as we wrap up today, gang. Manchester United and Ronaldo, that's going to be a headache every time because they got Mason Greenwood, youngster, very, very talented, coming through. Marcus Rashford, he's a Manc. He's born in Manchester. He has to play. Then you got Ronaldo. And then you got Martial. You know what I mean? There's so many players that want to get in that position. And for you not to start Ronaldo and Pogba, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is in over his head. We say this time and time and time again. United will never be great until he leaves. And I'm loving it. I'm loving every single second of it. Ronaldo is bigger than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. How can Ole Gunnar Solskjaer coach Ronaldo when Ronaldo can coach Ole? Ronaldo says, hey, look, when I was here, you were on the bench. I remember you. Now you're the manager? We went from Sir Alec to you? So as they drew to Everton, you know, he storms right off the pitch, right down the tunnel. Andros Townsend, who scored a great goal, tried to come up to Ronaldo and get his shirt from him. Ronaldo just waves him off like, yo, who are you, man? Why are you even talking to me? So you love to see the United struggle. But all in all, we'll wrap it up, people. The Premier League is strong. Chelsea is strong. City is strong. Us, we're strong. United, although guided by a clown and slightly overrated in almost every aspect of their game, United are good, and they haven't been beaten away from home in a very, very long time for that reason. So let's get the international break in, people. Let's figure it out. Hopefully we have more good football to come. This is Chima from Chima Chats Foot. Big up to all the Reds around the world currently driving through Washington, D.C., headed up to Penn State. Shout out to Penn State. That's my undergraduate institution for some work there, and we're going to get it done. Much love, people. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. We'll hold down this international break, and I'll see you all in 1 week. Take care, everyone. Cheers.